Hear me now? Solomon, you hear me? Okay. 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 Let's go ahead and make our way to our seats here. We'll get started. Happy New Year, everyone. I don't know if you are the type to make New Year's resolutions or goals or anything like that. I always try, but about this time, I already messed up, right? It's the 13th. I already broke like four of them. So it's okay. But I was listening to one of my favorite pastors, and his name is Andy Stanley, son of Charles Stanley. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he had a podcast on leadership and about making goals. And he was talking about when you think about goals, don't think about what, like what you're going to do and what you're going to accomplish. But think about who. Think about who you want to be. Right. So he asked this question. He said, why don't you think about your funeral? And all the people who are going to be at your funeral, think about them specifically. Think about your kids. Think about your parents, your brothers and sisters, your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, okay? Think about what you want those people to come up and say about you at your funeral. So when not what they will say, right? That might be depressing. But think about what you want them to say. Right. So like I have three kids. So I want my kids to say, you know, I want them to say certain things. Right. I have brothers. I have family members. I have friends. I want them to say certain things. At a lot of funerals I go to, it's all about, man, oh, he was such a fun guy. He could party. You know, oh, he was successful in his job. He was doing all this stuff. And oh, we used to have good old times. And, man, that guy was good at playing some ball. And he was, you know, he could crack some jokes. And I just, you know, I'll miss him. I was thinking about it. I was like, I really don't care about any of that stuff. I don't care about, if you're dead, who cares about the stuff you have, right? Who cares about the success you had in your workplace, how much money? So I was thinking about what do I want people to say about me? And you know what I want people to say? I want people to say, you know, he made a positive difference in my life. You know, that God used him in my life to do something. That's what I want people to say about me. That's what I want my kids to say. That's what I want my friends to say about me. You know, that God used him to make a difference in my life. He influenced me for God. And that's something that really drives me, that motivation. I want to be used by God to make a difference. You know, and that's why we started this church years ago. And I think that desire to make a difference is something, at least a seed of it, is placed in our heart by God, in each of our hearts. That all of us, like, I mean, if you had all the stuff in the world, all the money, all the, you know, fame and all the fortune, but like you made no difference in this world. I mean, you know, you got no friends, no one likes you, right? I mean, what good is that? So we all want to make a difference. I mean, that's something that we have in common. But in reality, most people don't live like that. Most people don't live to make a difference. Most people live to live for themselves. They don't make a difference in the world. And the crazy thing is they're satisfied with it. They're okay with it. And I don't understand that, especially for Christians who live life just for ourselves, and we just don't do anything for anyone else. We don't even think about other people, right? I just don't understand it, because essential, if you're a Christian, essential to your calling to follow Jesus is your calling to do what Jesus did, right? Jesus says, come follow me, not come follow me and we'll have a good time together. He didn't say that. He didn't say, come follow me and I'll bless you and I'll give you all you want. He said, no, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. If you come follow me, I got a job for you. It's not just about us having fun and I'm going to bless you, right? Come follow me. I got a job for you to do. I'm gonna do some stuff in front of you, and you better start learning what I do, because you're gonna be doing that too. That's why you come follow me. That's what follow means, right? Not we're just going for a walk. No, you do what I do, right? So the thing is, why don't we make a difference? You know, a lot of us, mainly maybe we're too worried about our own problems and issues. Like I can't think about anyone else. I got my own stuff, right? Or maybe we really don't even care about other folks. It's like it's just all about us. But this is what I hope for most of us, is that we want to make a difference, but we're afraid, or we don't know how. We're afraid of failure. We don't know where to start. And if that's where you are today, the good news is that's what we're talking about. We're going through this series through the Gospel of Mark called Rediscovering Jesus. And we've been walking through this. We took a break during Christmas time, but I think this is our 13th week in this series. And we're talking about who Jesus is, why he came, and what he wants from us. And today, there's a shift that's going to happen in the book of Mark, that through from this time on, from chapter 1 through chapter 5, we see the story is all about focusing on Jesus, and the disciples were just kind of like extras in the movie, right? You're like, you don't even know who they are, and they're just in the background. But today, we're going to talk about that. Jesus calls them to the foreground, and he says, hey, I'm going to empower you. I'm going to send you out. I'm going to give you instructions, and you're going to start doing the stuff that I'm doing. He gives them instructions, sends them out, and they start doing amazing things. They start changing people's lives. These are just ordinary folk here, used by God to change people. They start preaching, right? People get saved. They start laying their hands on sick people. Sick people get healed. They start going into places, and demons would scream and shout and leave the place. God started using these people to make a difference, changing people's lives. And in this story, Jesus, as he was sending them out, he gives them instructions. And I think these instructions are for us today, too. If you want to be used by God, I'm talking kind of fast because I don't got much time here. If you want to be used by God, this applies to you too. Okay, this is what you need. This is the elements that's necessary for God's mission. This is what you need to see God do amazing things through you. Okay, so we're in Mark chapter 6. If you have a Bible, turn with me, Mark chapter 6. I think there's some paperback Bibles. I think it's 703. That's the page. Just Mark chapter 6, starting from verse 7. Just a few short verses. This is calling the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. And these were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belt. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet and when you leave, as a testimony against them. So they went out and they preached that people should repent. And they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Let's pray and ask for God's blessing. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that your word right now would just open, enter into our lives, that you would teach us, that you would challenge us about how we can make a difference for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So what do we need? I got seven elements that are necessary for God, to see God use you to do amazing things, right? If you want to make a difference for God, you need these seven things. Number one, you need a relationship with God. Okay, that's simple, right? We need a relationship with God. In verse 7, it says, he called the 12 to himself, right? Just like I said earlier, Jesus calling, he says, come follow me, and then I'll make you fishers of men, right? And this is the thing. You meet a lot of people who are great heart people. Like, they go out there and they serve in the soup kitchen. They serve and all this stuff. They want to make it, but they don't know Jesus, right? How are you going to be used by Jesus if you don't know Jesus? Right, you need to first have a relationship with God, and this is the thing. This sounds a little bit simple, but this is what Jesus warns. Right, in Matthew chapter 7, he says this: "Hey, on that day, many will say to me, hey, Lord, Lord, all right, haven't we done all these great things for you? Haven't we served the poor? Haven't we did all these miracles? Didn't we do all this great stuff for you, Jesus?" And Jesus looks at him and says, I don't even know who you are. He says, you need to depart from me because I never knew you, right? So just because the fact that you have a heart that you want to do something, you're doing good, doesn't mean that you have a relationship with Jesus, right? And on the other side is this. If you go to church all the time, you read the Bible, and you sit there and you absorb, but you never go out and do anything, I have to question if you really even know Jesus at all, right? Because if you're all about singing the songs and reading the book and wearing the t-shirt, but you don't love people the way Jesus loves them, I mean, do you even know him? Right? You call yourself a follower of Jesus, but you don't do the stuff that he does? Jesus, I don't know who you are. Right? So the first thing is you need to have a relationship with God. And that's a simple thing. And that's what the gospel tells us. We need to have a relationship with God first. It flows from that, okay? Number two, there's some fill in the blanks you could follow along with me. Confidence in God's power. If you want to be used by God, you have to have confidence in God's power. Right there in verse 7, he says, he gave them authority over evil spirits. Right? When we go out and we try to make a difference and we try to do something, it's not that we have confidence that we are strong, that we are smart, that we have ability, right? But we are confident in God and his power. I mean, maybe you're sitting there, you're thinking, man, I'm weak. I can't do anything for God. I can't really make a difference, right? If you think that way, good, right? Because you are weak, right? But this is the thing. The Bible is all about weak people being used by a mighty God to do amazing things, right? Right? You think about David, little shepherd boy, right? And he was weak. He was small. He couldn't fit in the armor. He couldn't even pick up Saul's sword. He's like, this stuff's too heavy for me, right? But him plus God, I mean, killed a giant, right? You think about Gideon, the lowliest of his tribe. He was afraid. He was down, you know, he was hiding. And God came to him and says, Gideon, rise up, mighty warrior. He's like, you talking to me? He's like, no, I'm going to make you a mighty warrior. Why don't you come follow me? I only need you and 299 other guys, and we're going to go and rout the evil army of the Midianites. And it's like a weak person used by mighty God. He does amazing things. You think about Moses, little guy. He was in the shepherd. He was hiding. And him, called by God, ran into the king. I mean, Pharaoh was king of the world. And he went up there, hey, Pharaoh, let my people go. Right. You know, it's like, who says that, right? He's a shepherd, right? But this is the thing, confidence not in yourselves, but confidence in God's power, right? And this is the thing, here it says that God gave them authority over evil spirits, right? And they start going out casting out demons, and you're thinking, oh, well, that God gave them authority, but what about me? This is the thing, in Acts chapter 1:8, this is what happens, right? Jesus says, hey, I got to leave. I got to go up to heaven, but I'm going to send you somebody, the Comforter. He says, but when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. And then when you receive the Holy Spirit, that power, then you could go and be my witnesses. Now, don't try to do stuff without me now, right? But this is the thing. We, each and every one of us, if we have Jesus in our heart, we already have the authority and the power of Jesus resting within us, right? Right? So confidence, not in yourself, but confidence in God. Right? Number three, we need to have partnership with others. Partnership with others. He says he sent them out two by two. He didn't say just go out there and go by yourself. Right? Bible says two are better than one. It is not good for man to be alone. Right? He says that we are part of the body of Christ, and we are part of the church. The church is the body of Christ, the family of God, and we need each other. I meet too many Christians that say, hey, I love Jesus, I'm trying to make a difference, but they don't go to church, they don't fellowship with any brothers and sisters, they're not in accountability, right? No one knows what they're doing, but they say, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm going to do my thing. It's like, I don't see anywhere in the Bible where that is permitted, where you could try to just think you could do well all by yourself, right? We need each other. You need partnership. You need to be in church, right? There are no Lone Rangers. Man, Lone Ranger had Tonto anyways, right? Right? I mean, Batman had Robin. You know, it wasn't just, you know, they don't get the publicity, but they have partners. We need partners if you want to make a difference, right? I want to tell you this. Husbands, your wife is your partner, right? Wives, your husband is your partner, not your enemy, right? We're in this together, right? You're raising these kids. You're trying to make a difference in the lives of these kids together. You're trying to make a difference in this world together, okay? But you need to get yourself in church. And honestly, it's not, you know, we're one church here, but just get yourself in church someplace. If this is not your church, find a place to. You know, every church has issues. There's crazy people in every church, right? Right? And if you find a church that is perfect, has no messed up people, don't go there because you'll mess it up, right? So this is the thing. Every church has its issues. All you got to do is figure out, this is where I'm going to belong and commit to, and I'm going to do life with these people, and we're going to make a difference together for a long period of time. Okay? You need a partnership. Number four. Dependence on God. Dependence on God. This is crazy. He sends them out. He said they're about to cast out demons. They're about to heal people. And he says, take nothing with you. Just a staff. I don't know what the staff is for, but he says, don't take any bread, no money, no bag in your belt. Wear sandals. I mean, what else are they going to wear, I guess? I don't know. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Don't even bring an extra coat, right? Don't even worry about if it's going to get cold or not, right? He says, I'm going to send you out for this difficult mission, but I don't want you to take anything with you. You know, because if you go out and you try to make a difference and you got a pocket full of cash, you're going to think your pocket full of cash. Hey, you need some help? Oh, I got some money. Here, let me help you with this, right? If you go out, see, God wants you to depend on him, right? This thing, you will never be used by God unless you're willing to jump out of your comfort zone into that deep end where you got nothing else to rely on but God. I mean, if you have a pocket full of cash, you got all this wealth and all this success, and you're just leaning on those things, you're not going to be used by God. Right, the only people who are used by God are people who are utterly dependent on him. You know, this is the story in the Old Testament where Israel is about to go into battle and they're feeling good about themselves because they got an army, they got horses, they got chariots, and the prophet says, "Do not trust in horses and in chariots, but trust in the strength of the Lord." Right, and he says, "That's why you guys are about to get beat right now." Right, by these people, because you're trusting in your power, your army, right? Because you got some soldiers, you got some horses. You think you can say, like, no. Don't trust. The reason why you're going to win is trusting in the power of God, right? And this is the thing. We need to be dependent. When you don't have stuff and you got to wait on God day by day, right? That's what the manna was about in the book of Exodus. Every morning they woke up and like, I'm not sure. Is God going to provide today? Well, let's see. They open up their tent. There it is, right? Thanks, God. Thank you. But you can only take enough for that day, right? And that's when Jesus says, hey, when you pray, Father, give us this day our daily bread. Because I'm dependent on you. You know, most of us, we don't see God move in our lives because we don't need daily bread because we got a kitchen full of stuff. We got a cupboard full of, loaves of bread. We got a refrigerator full of food. We got all this. So we don't need to depend on God anymore. And we're playing it safe. And we wonder, why isn't God using me? Because you're playing it too safe, right? If you want to do something for God, you got to go out and take some risks. And go out there and love some people that are hard to love. Go out there and do something difficult. That God, I know each and every one of us, there's probably some people on your heart that God put on your heart that says, you know what, maybe you should go and reach out. Maybe you should go give them some money. Maybe you should go spend some time with them. Maybe you should go and preach the gospel to them and get them to repent. But you're like, oh, no, I'm not sure if I want to do that or not. I'm scared, right? You just got to be dependent. Dependent on God, right? You are weak so he can be strong. All right. Number five, fifth element is you need contentment in your circumstances. Contentment. In verse 10, he says, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Luke, the cross reference in Luke says, do not go from house to house. Right. And it's meant like, you know, if you go to one place and you stay there for a little while and then someone else with a nicer house is like, oh, let me go stay over there. They got a jacuzzi. And she cooks better over there. I got to stay here in this. I got to sleep on the couch over here. But they got an extra bedroom. Let me go stay over there. Right? It's like that. He's saying, be content wherever you are. Stay where God puts you. Don't look for upgrades. Right? And this is the thing. I remember when I was a kid. I'm Vietnamese. I don't know about you know about Vietnamese. Most Vietnamese eat a lot of bread. It's not just rice. Right? So I grew up. We eat Vietnam was conquered by the French, right? So they spoke French, and we eat French bread. So in my house growing up, every day we had loaves of French bread, big old long baguettes, okay? You ever in a Vietnamese sandwich? Okay? So I told my mom, I said, hey, mom, can you make me some lunch for school? All the kids, you know, they bring their lunch bags, and they got, you know, Transformers, G.I. Joe lunch pails, and can you make me some lunch? She's like, oh, what do they make you? I don't know. It's like sandwiches, and, you know, they put bologna and all this. I don't know what they do. So my mom, this is what she did. She got a big old loaf of French bread. She cut it in half. She sliced it open, and she fried a couple of eggs and put it in there. Fried egg sandwich. And this is the thing. Hey, man, I love that fried egg sandwich, right? A little soy sauce in there. Okay, I'm Asian, right? So, all right. That's my afternoon snack, right? So my mom said, he'll eat this at school. And I would get there, and I didn't have G.I. Joe, right? So she had a big old Rouse bag, you know, a paper bag, and I had to hold this, and it was big like this, and it's just, you know. And I would sit there. I would, lunchtime, would pull out the big old Rouse bag, and I was looking around. I was like, dang, man, they got G.I. Joe, you know, the hard metal. They got this one, got, you know, they got a Spectre Gadget over here. I got this Rouse bag. I started feeling bad, right? And they start opening it. It's like, man, what do you got? What is this bologna you speak of? What is that? That looks good. What is this? Roast beef. Oh, my goodness. And I was like, I look in my bag, and I was like, man, right? And this is the thing. It really doesn't matter what they have. Right? My mama packed this lunch for me. I better eat it. Right? It's like the secret to contentment is you got to just keep your nose in your own bag. Right? And don't look around. And this is for you. Contentment right here. You got to focus on your assignment that God has given you. Don't be looking around. Don't be looking around at this other person got this money. This other person, you know, got this family. They got this person, you know, they got that. It's like, it really don't matter what they have, right? God packed you this lunch, and you got to eat that lunch. That's your assignment. And if you can never be used by God, if you're discontent with what God put in your life, and you're always looking around and say, God, what else? What else is there? What else is there? You ain't going to be used by God. You got to learn how to be content with what God gave you. It says, don't go from house to house. This is it. Just stay where you are. Stay where I got a plan for you. Okay. Number six, wisdom about God's timing. He says, if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave. Right. Man, there's a what is it? That famous theologian. What did he say? Kenny Rogers. You got to know when to hold him. Know when to fold him. Know when to walk away, know when to run. Man, there's a time when you're out there trying to serve God, but you got to know the wisdom of God that some people aren't right yet to respond, right? If you're trying to pour your heart out to somebody and they're not ready, and you can't just sit there and get angry and mad and just, you know, there's a time you got to know. There's a time that is okay to walk away when people are not ready. Maybe some of you have these people in their lives. They're just reoccurring things, and you're just trying to pray for them. That's okay. You can pray for them, right? But you need to have the wisdom of God that there's a time to speak, a time to love, but also there's a time to step back and walk away, okay? Right? Okay. Wisdom. And number seven, this last one. You need to have the courage to obey. Courage to obey. Right? And it said, after they heard these words, verse 12, so they went out and preached. They didn't say, Jesus, you know, they didn't question Jesus. Jesus, can you say that again? What do you want us to do? He says, no. They went out and they preached that people should repent. And they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and they healed them. And they went out and they just had courage to obey. I mean, do you think these disciples were afraid? I mean, they're about to go face-to-face with demons on their own, right? You think they were afraid? Heck yeah, they were afraid, right? But courage is not the absence of fear, but courage is the ability to move forward in the face of fear, right? So you got people in your lives that are far away from God, and they need to hear about Jesus, right? Are you going to have the courage to obey Jesus to say, I got to share the gospel with this person. I got to go love this person. Or are you going to be too afraid of rejection, too afraid of failure, too afraid of looking dumb, right? So you need to have the courage to do what God has called you to do in spite of the fear that you have, right? So this is the thing. God has a plan for each and every one of us. God has called us to follow him, and he's called us to join him in his mission. And I want for you so badly to see God do amazing things through you, right? That you would know the reality of God, not by stories of other people, but what he does through you. I want you to experience that, right? But you need to have a relationship with him. You need to have confidence. You need to have these things. You need to depend on him. Let me give you one closing thought here. If you are a follower of Jesus but are not making a difference for God, then something is very wrong. Something is very wrong. If you're not making a difference, there's something wrong there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace, and Lord, how you made a difference in our lives, how you sent your son to redeem us, forgive us, Lord, change us, Lord. We pray, Lord, as we follow your son, that you would start to use us to make a difference in our world, Lord. Help us to love those people in our life that need to be loved. Help us to see miracles, Lord. Help us to have the faith in you, Lord. We have confidence in you, Lord. We thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
All right. Well, that concludes our service today. You'll notice we don't pass offering baskets here at City Light Church. So if anyone has offering to give, if God's put it on your heart to give, or you came prepared to give, there's an offering box in the back of the room. There's a black box in the stand. If anybody has anything to give, it just goes in that box. Thanks so much for coming today. I do ask that as we transition out of here that we move quickly out of this room, because there's another group coming in right after us. But next door, we have set up with some snacks and a chance to hang out and fellowship with each other. So as we transition, we just move right over next door, and that's where we could do our touching base and getting to know each other more. God bless you all, and thanks for being here.